Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
The actual time for giving a garland is just when the speaker sits. Translate that. This is wet. I'm just going to. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 20, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Evaṁ prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijñānam mukta saṅghasya jāyate. Evaṁ prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijñānam mukta saṅghasya jāyate. Translation. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection in life. Mostly, men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there is actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, it is said that scientific knowledge of Sri Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service, bhakti yoga. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of human life is attained when one can understand that he is not the product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance, or in other words, when one is actually a brahmana by qualification. A brahmana is the symbol of sattva guna, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, or less than the shudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a brahmana. The devotee is already a brahmana by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnav, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudev stage to understand the personality of Godhead Krishna. The science of the personality of Godhead is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men, or men with a poor fund of knowledge, do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. when a qualified Brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. Oh, there's so much in this verse and purport. Could take a long time to discuss it in detail. Very long time. This verse begins with the word evam, which means thus. Can think of another verse which begins with that? Well-known verse. Evam parampara praptam. This science was thus received. The syntax is a little different in Srila Prabhupada's translation, as is normal in translating. So this thus comes after describing how a person hears about Krishna, becomes purified, and then prasanna manasaha, you can all understand what this means. The word prasanna and manna are both in Indian languages up to the present day. It means a happy mind. Srila Prabhupada translates this as the mind has been enlivened. Prasannama bhagavad bhakti yogata. Yoga, he translates this here as contact. By contact with devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So I thought to speak on this verse this morning after we had a very enlivening Mangalarti Kirtan with devotees jumping and singing, definitely very enlivened, and several young men here this morning who weren't here yesterday morning, who appear to be enlivened by contact with devotional service, which means by contact with devotees. The same word is there, that bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate, devotional service, bhagavad bhakti, which is described here, bhagavad bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, comes about by contact with devotees, bhagavad bhaktas, to mix Sanskrit with English, as is commonly done. So this devotional service is enlivening. In the previous verse, spoke of tada rajas tamo bhava kama lo bhadayasche. Spoke of the state of material consciousness. This is spiritual consciousness. Prasanna manasaha. Brahma bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakamshati. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita, the state of spiritual consciousness in which the mind is enlivened. There's no hankering or lamenting. On the material platform of rajagun, tamagun, tada rajastamo bhava, kama and lobha, of material desire and greed, this is always characterized by hope and disappointment. So one who is on the transcendental platform, nashochati nakangshati. He neither laments nor hopes. He's not hopeful, not materially hopeful. Because to be materially hopeful means to become materially disappointed. And we see that all living beings, at least those of more developed consciousness, to, for instance, humans, cats and dogs, more developed compared to cockroaches, for instance, we can't judge much about a cockroach's consciousness, but we can see that the cat or the dog sometimes feels happy and sometimes feels sad. With the dog, it's very apparent when he's happy, his tail is wagging.
when he's unhappy or afraid, his tail goes between his legs. So in English, there's a saying that someone has their tail between their legs, comparing to a dog. Do you know that? Do you say that in Indian English also? Okay, you don't. So it's not a dog culture, this culture. Indian culture is cow culture, not dog culture, as in the West. So if we say a person has his tail between his legs, it means he's disappointed, defeated, not very happy. So as in dogs, cats, humans, cows or bulls, we see when they're young, they tend to be frisky, hopeful kittens and puppies. They play, as do human children, generally, if they're not tortured from the beginning of their life. Cows also, if they're allowed to, they'll play if they're not sent off to the slaughterhouse. Or these lights are not needed now, they can be turned off. So they begin life with great hope, and as they get older, they tend to become disappointed. So it's quite common in the Western countries especially to see, if at all you see old people walking on the streets, if they're not locked up in some euphemistically called senior citizens' home, then they look disappointed. The color has gone from their face, the brightness has gone, and they're just waiting to die. Of course, in America, you'll find from the richer section, they'll dress in shorts and pretend they're young. It's not a very good pretense. So their hopefulness. On a material platform, hopefulness inevitably turns to disappointment. But we get another birth to try to be happy again. And again we become disappointed. And it goes on. This is the cycle of birth and death. In brief, it's called punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatareshayanam. Well known lines from Shankaracharya, who the Mayavadis, although we don't accept the ultimate stage of their philosophy, they're also very expert in analyzing the condition of material existence. But they're very inexpert in analyzing the condition of spiritual existence. So they got the beginning of the equation right, but then they got the rest of it wrong. So we can go along with them to some extent. Anyway, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, it means again and again getting born and again dying. And that's just a summary of all the disappointed hopes and the struggles and the material attachments which bind us up in this material world and the whole condition of material existence. If you want a thorough understanding, go to any library and read all the books. And all the books, they only describe, well, Kami Library. The books, they just describe this material world in various categories such as science and sociology and history and novels and so on and so on and so on. Please go wash your hand after putting it in your mouth. We have some spiritual... No, it's actually material education going on here, but it's required also. So there's really nothing to get enlivened about. If one is slightly intelligent. But as Srila Prabhupada points out in the beginning of this purport, quoting from Bhagavad Gita, very few people in this world are actually intelligent, and that includes, my dear friends, Herr Einstein, unintelligent. Materially intelligent, studying things that were not worth studying to the extent that he studied it. He would have been better to use his intelligence to apply it to spiritual knowledge. But actually, you don't have to be as intelligent as Einstein. Any simple person can become more intelligent than Einstein simply by asking the right questions and seeking the right answers. It doesn't require highly developed intelligence. It does generally require association with devotees. And without that, even if one asks the right questions and intuits, in other words, gets direction from the Supersoul, as to the right answers, he's still likely to go on the wrong path. The prime example is the Buddha. Of course, he's Vishnu avatar, but he's playing the role of a truth seeker who intuitively understood, or by, he did manana nididhyasana without shravana. We're supposed to hear, consider, you're also got your hand on your mouth. Go wash your hand. We're supposed to hear from Shastra and then try and understand it and then try and internalize it. But he just did, he started off with manan, with just thinking about what the hell is going on in this world, and came to the conclusion that this world is full of suffering. But he didn't get the point that we're all controlled, we're all eternal living beings, we're all part and parcel of Krishna. So this point that we are part and parcel of Krishna, that is the essential point. Therefore, this whole sequence begins with Srinvatang Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. We should begin spiritual life, real spiritual life begins with hearing about Krishna. To understand that this material world is miserable does not in and of itself constitute spiritual knowledge, although a lot of the Shastra talks about that. But even a complete materialist can come to that conclusion. And if a materialist comes to that conclusion, he therefore, if he wants to take it philosophically further, concludes that, well, this whole world is meaningless. If we could have enjoyed ourselves, it would have had some meaning. But as we can't enjoy ourselves, therefore, the one possibility is just to commit suicide because there's no point in being alive. And the other point is that anyway, we're going to die soon. So we might as well enjoy ourselves as much as we can before we die. So these are both symptoms of hopelessness. Either we become philosophical or not philosophical, we're in a situation of hopelessness until we come to the point of association with devotees and hear from them. Then we can become enlivened by devotional service. So, as I said, I saw all these enlivened young men. That enlivenment, there may be some element of puppiness in there. In other words, young people tend to be lively. So that's being channeled into Krishna consciousness. But to actually come to the spiritual platform, then we have to imbibe Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. We have to imbibe knowledge, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, by which mukta sangasya jayate, by which we become free from the rajoguna, tamoguna, even the sattvaguna, and the lust and greed of this world. Then we can actually be enlivened on the spiritual platform. So it makes a lot of sense to become enlivened on the spiritual platform, because although there is much propaganda to try to enliven us on the material platform, there's actually nothing to be enlivened about. The whole idea in the modern world that now you're going to college and you're studying, and in future you can have a good job, or if you're in America, they'd say a great job,
Although, if you actually look at it, there's no such thing as a good job. They're all just, it's all just being squeezed. Every drop of you, when they've squeezed every drop of blood out of you, they throw you on the side and bring someone else in to squeeze. You should also go wash your hand. Please, everyone, learn, don't put your hand on your mouth. This is supposed to be taught in childhood from the age of about 6 months. That's why I'm one reason I'm reluctant to give Brahminical initiation. People don't even know prior, what's even prior to ABC. So, there's really not much to be enlivened about. As a few years ago in Germany, one schoolboy got the idea from some of his compatriots in the United States of America and got a gun and went and shot a bunch of kids and teachers dead at the school and then shot himself. And he left a note on his computer or wherever saying that, anyway, what's the point? It's just you have to work all your life and then you, when you're old and worn out and you can't do anything, then you retire and then you die. So you might as well die now and help the others to die earlier also. So that's one response. Actually, there's nothing to be enlivened about. They try to enliven you by saying, you can get money and then you can have a car. And then what can you do with the car? You get in the traffic jam and go to work. And if you have more money, then you can have a more fancy car and you can look out your window and look at the person. You have a BMW and you're looking out the window at someone with a Maruti. I'm better than you. But you're stuck in the same traffic jam. And although the person in the BMW is going to work and thinking, I've got a better job, but he's also being exploited by someone, or maybe he has his own business. But anyway, everyone has to suffer birth, death, old age, disease. So it's intelligent to hear about Krishna, or if one is somewhat skeptical about that, at least to inquire into the absolute truth. And if one is actually fortunate, he'll come to understand that the absolute truth is Krishna. And we have to surrender to Krishna. One has to come to one's constitutional spiritual position, which is, if you want, you can call that spiritual jargon. But as with much technical jargon, it has a specific meaning for those who understand it, and it's essential for us to understand what is our constitutional position as living entities. There's some more jargon. We are living beings, we are jivas, we are not the body, we are eternal spirit souls, we are eternally related with Krishna in a pact of service. We are servants, Krishna is supreme, and that service is enlivening. That is enlivening to the soul. Whatever is enlivening in this material world, that is enlivening on the platform of Rajoguna. But that will turn to disappointment. Generally, we become enlivened, kama and lobha, we become enlivened by the thought of sexual contact and by monetary gain. But this does not bring happiness. As we can see all around us, generally when we're young, we say, not only when we're young, but particularly when we're young, we think that sexual contact will bring us happiness. But if one is a little intelligent, thoughtful, he can look around and see all the married people or the older people, and they're all having sexual contact, but they're not happy. Doesn't make them happy. Where's the happiness in that? Maybe they have some sensation of some kind of sensation of pleasure, but it's not happiness. That's compared in the Bhagavatam to when someone is
itching and they scratch it. So there's some sensation of pleasure there, but it's not really pleasure. The itching and scratch. And then actually the itching gets worse. Then you scratch some more, then you get an infection. So that's material enjoyment. You have this desire, I got to enjoy. And then you enjoy, and then there's nothing that enjoyable, but you think, I got to enjoy some more. And it goes on and on and on, and that's called punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again and again getting born, and again dying. So the loophole is to come into Krishna consciousness. And as Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, following the words of this verse, one has to attain scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, then one can enter into actual devotional service. So this Krishna conscious movement is known in India as promoting Bhagavad Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna. But it's not well known, maybe among many of its members also, that it's not just Krishna Bhakti in some kind of amorphous way or vague way, but specifically devotional service which is enriched with transcendental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, he uses that term, enriched with, devotional service enriched with, in his translation of the verse which begins, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to offer devotional service to himself, which is enriched with renunciation and knowledge. So it is a very great opportunity for you enlivened young men to continue to be enlivened and to become more enlivened by studying and understanding the science of Krishna and distributing that to others. It is a great opportunity that you have to perfect your human life. Srila Prabhupada quotes it. He doesn't get the Sanskrit. Narushanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maang veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands of men, Krishna says, hardly one endeavors for perfection, and even of those who do attain perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. This is a great opportunity which is being offered to come out of this cycle of birth and death, which is just like being crushed birth after birth, and come tamasima jyotir gamaya. Have you all heard that? You've all heard that line? All you young boys coming from the college, have you heard that line? Tamasima jyotir gamaya? Yes or no? No. You've heard it. Not all of you have heard it. I think from a generation previously, everyone would have heard it. But in the next generation, they don't know. A few years ago, I was giving a lecture in, I believe it was South Gujarat somewhere. It was a group of, must have been pious Hindus had come. And in the lecture, I'd spoken quite a lot about the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Das, who was present at the program. I think it was in Valsad, or Vapi. No, Valsad, I believe it was. Anyway, wherever it was. Then he was a lot more experienced than myself in preaching to such groups in Gujarat, told me that, said, actually, people don't know what sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun means. So, oh, really? I've been preaching in India and related countries for so many years, and when I started out in the 1970s, and we'd speak of this, and then everyone knew what it meant. But
I was stuck in a time warp. The world had changed and I hadn't. And I wasn't aware that even pious Hindus, pious I guess nowadays means they watch Astar and Sanskar channel. That's pious. They don't know what these things mean. Anyway, getting back to that. Tamasi ma jyotir gamaya. The Vedic injunction. Come out of... Don't go to darkness. Come to the light. Utishta, jagrata, prapya, varan, nibodhata. This is another way of saying it is get up, wake up. And this means spiritually. Attain that boon. Boon, do you all know what that means? Boon, benediction, vara. In Sanskrit. Vara means benediction, it means the best, it means a husband. Here it means a benediction, a boon. Benediction. I'm not sure if there's such a word in English except in ISKCON. Become aware, nibodhata. Become aware of that which is attainable, that boon which is attainable. So, as is often in the Upanishads, it doesn't, not exactly specific what that is, but that boon is yadgatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama, to go to that place where having gone one never comes back, that is to go back home, back to Godhead, to go to the spiritual world, to go to Krishna. You can go. Where do you want to go? Used to be that people want to go to America. Do they still want to go to America? Still going on? They didn't realize yet that America's on the way down fast. Still they want to go to America. Yeah, okay. Well, still the IT professionals in India, many of whom are from India, are earning considerably more than the average American, if you take out the top 1%, especially. Because if you add in the top 1%, then the average American income goes up a lot. If you take out the 1% who have 80% of the wealth of the country, then, yeah, it's becoming less than 1%. The 1% is becoming less, and the 80% is going up. In other words, the very rich are getting richer, and everyone else is sharing out the remnants, the bits of the dog's bones which the big dog left behind. So yeah, Indian IT professionals are earning more. So you still want to go there? All right. Well, we've got a much better place for you to go. And that's called the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Golok Vrindavan. And how to go there? Chant Hare Krishna and study. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Study this knowledge of Krishna consciousness and give it to others also. People are suffering miserably. People may think today, oh, so much rain, it's so miserable. At least in England when it rains, people think it's miserable, which is a lot of the time. Maybe in India when it rains, people think, good, at last some rain, we need some rain. But in England, there's rain is considered not very desirable. At least they used to tend to get too much of it. But if you're thinking that it's raining and it's wet and cold, and this miserable, well, we have some news for you. There's a lot worse misery. Getting old is miserable. Dying is miserable. Getting reborn is miserable. Everything in this material world is miserable. Desire, that hope that we have, the hope that we will be happy. The more we hope that we'll be happy, the more we suffer. So, come to the platform of spiritual knowledge. You all have a great opportunity. having come in contact with this Krishna consciousness, to cut out of this cycle, born again, die again. If we do a speeded up film of our existence, we'll see it's a bird, it's an insect, it's a snake, it's a chimpanzee. It is, who are you? My name is Alok Chaudhary. And then it's a pigeon. It goes on and on. Alok Chaudhary becomes a pigeon. According to Srila Prabhupada, someone who's... Well, according to Srila Prabhupada means it's a fact. Someone who's inordinately inclined to sexual activity while in a human form is likely to become a pigeon. Could also become a chimpanzee. There are alternatives. It's complex exactly how the karmic results work out. Or it could become a chimpanzee and then a pigeon. That's also quite possible. Or a pigeon and then a chimpanzee. Or then a chimpanzee and a chimpanzee and then a pigeon and then a pigeon and then a chimpanzee and then a pigeon. And on it goes. So this is the opportunity to come out. You don't have to be entangled in material life. I can recommend something to all of you. You can see here there are young men dressed in saffron color, and others who are not dressed in saffron color, but they have taken a different course in their life than their parents wanted them to. You can do the same thing. This is the best thing. If you're a young man and you're not yet married and you're in contact with Krishna consciousness, then clearly the best thing to do is to come into Krishna consciousness and don't get entangled with peripheral, non-essential activities, which happens if you get married. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, you can get married, and we're not against that. And in married life, one can also make progress in Krishna consciousness and can also preach to others. But if one is young and unmarried and is not totally overcome by sensual desires and is imbibing Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam's knowledge of spiritual life, then clearly the intelligent thing to do is to get into it fully. If it's worth getting into, it's worth getting into fully without any diversion. So this is the best life. We see this every morning. Start the day with dancing. That convinced me when I first came to a temple of Krishna in England by Krishna's arrangement. I wasn't planning on it, but I had to stay overnight. And unknown to me, I had to get up for Mangal Aarti early in the morning, which I'd never thought of, and rising so early in the morning, and after a cold shower, which I'd never thought of either having a shower at the beginning of the day, and especially not a cold one. So it was, you could say, in some ways, a chilling experience. That was a lame pun. Then went down to the temple room, which was freezing cold, because, like the rest of the building, and because it was cold outside and snowing, actually. And there was no money at that time for heating. And then I saw everyone is dancing in the kirtan. I thought, they do this every day. They get up every morning and they're dancing for God. This is something special. These are not ordinary people. And I could already see that by the shaved heads, which at that time was unusual, especially with a tassel at the back. But that they're clearly enlivened and not on any physical intoxication, but clearly enlivened and happy, very happy, to rise early every morning and sing and dance and play musical instruments before the extraordinarily beautiful deities. This is something amazing. This is clearly a different level of consciousness altogether. These people are in different, they're not in the same consciousness as the enjoyers of this material world who are miserable. Even if they sometimes put on a veneer of happiness. So this opportunity is there. You should take it and become more and more enlivened in Krishna consciousness and dance throughout your life. Dance your way to the spiritual world. There are different ways. Some people do it by meditation, austerities, over many lifetimes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is go to the spiritual world by dancing. And when you get there, what do? More dancing. Dancing is the ultimate expression of happiness. Therefore it's stated in Sri Brahma Samhita, Kataganam Natyam Gamanam, that speaking is singing. If someone becomes very happy, then they'll spontaneously start singing. And if someone is very happy, they won't walk. When they walk, they'll get into a bit of a jig, which we see that children quite often, when they just do some spontaneous dancing. And not even devotee children, but just they feel enlivened. That's on the material platform, but a devotee is enlivened and sings and dances and praises Krishna throughout his life and becomes more and more enlivened. The enlivenment doesn't go down because Krishna consciousness doesn't disappoint if one's actually in Krishna consciousness. It's not like material consciousness where you become hopeful and then you become disappointed. But in Krishna consciousness, become hopeful and then more hopeful. And then what happens is described here, that all the vidyate hridaya grantis chidyante sarva samshayaha, that all the attachments which bind us to this material world, all the attachments in the heart are pierced, and all misgivings, doubts, they are cut to pieces. And one becomes fully Krishna conscious. So I recommend it. And plus, the opportunity to, as brahmacharis, one can engage full time in actually doing good for others by spreading Krishna consciousness. Any noble person should desire to do good for others. Pranaya Arthaya Diyavaja Shreya Acharan Sabha. One should always act for the ultimate good by his giving his life, money, intelligence, words. So the ultimate good means the ultimate good of everyone. Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu. That's another one which maybe people haven't heard, which people used to. No. Let everyone be happy. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Let everyone be happy by Krishna consciousness. So, you may, at least those who are newly coming, you may, we're not pushing you or forcing you, but you can consider there is an alternative to this grind of material life in which you're just like being put in a mixing machine. You're put in and you're ground to dust. Starting with they call it the play school, but it's not,
It's more of school than play. They have to learn and get their degrees and get a job. And then they get a loan. And then your whole life is simply ground up. And then you die. And then you get born again. And then again, hopeful, then again crushed. So this is the alternative. Come out of this. And those who have been through all of that, who are older, who are retired from all that. Retirement doesn't mean rest. In Krishna, we should follow the example of Srila Prabhupada, that he became more busy in Krishna consciousness after he left his, he had his own business. So after he left his business, or his business left him, then he became more busy. He wasn't lazy. He was never lazy. As Srila Prabhupada said about himself, I was never lazy. He always worked hard. So in retired life, more busy for Krishna. And in grihastha life, one should go through that very responsibly, without getting unnecessarily entangled in social affairs. Can be an ideal grihastha, as was Srila Prabhupada, maintaining his family but also keeping close in contact with Krishna consciousness and Krishna conscious activities. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yeah. Which one? Tamasima Jyotir Gamaya. Yeah, it's one of those which, like Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu, and the reference for that, they're generally classified as Subhashitas, or sayings, as salutary sayings, or salutary or didactic sayings. But I do believe also I saw somewhere that was quoted, said to be from Rig Veda. If you don't know where it's from, then it's from the Skanda Purana. That's the joke, because the Skanda Purana is supposed to be what, 80,000 verses, and it's not all extant. So if you don't know what it is, you can say it's from the Skanda Purana. Iti Sushruma, we have heard it. It's in the tradition. There's so many things which are... It may be that some sayings were so well known that they're in verbal tradition and no one kept a written record, and so much of Vedic knowledge has been lost. You can try looking. Ask some pundits next time you're in Bangalore. These kind of questions, you can go to Purna Pragya Vidya Peetam in Bangalore and ask them. And someone there should know. And if they don't know, then probably no one knows. What's that? Paramat Niketan, or Paramat Ashram. They chant that. It's part of a verse. Isn't it? Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gamaya. What's the next line? Asadoma Sadgamaya Mrityoma Amrita. I don't know. And that also Sarve Sukhino Bhavantu Sarvam Arogya. You know it, huh? Okay. I don't know. You're ahead of me. So another way you can research is look on the internet. Someone might have put it out on the internet. In Chennai, there's one scholar who both Sri Vaishnavas and Smartas go to. I went to him once. I know him. He's Smarta, Paka Smarta, with three lines on his forehead. But he's very learned, and his name is
Visyanatham, something like that. And if he's passed away in the meantime, his sons are there, so you could ask him. I still have his address, I think. So he was formerly the head of the Sanskrit college or Sanskrit faculty at Madras University. So there are pandits here and there. We want, in ISKCON, we should also have some pandits who people can go to and ask such questions, because there are so many questions, but it's not that every pandit's going to know everything, because knowledge is vast, and real pandits, when you ask them a question, they don't know, they say, I don't know. So you can try looking it up here and there. Because a real pandit, one definition of a pandit is he has some understanding of how little he knows. Because you become aware of how much there is to know. Though you may know more than others, but one of the things you get to know is how much is out there. How much, despite so much knowledge having been destroyed, and the libraries destroyed by Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus in India, still there's a lot there. And even this one verse that we read today, if you wanted to get into it, you could spend days and days analyzing it. It's a good religion. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. Better than, if you don't believe what we say, we'll kill you. So, better religion. And sarve means not only the humans, but all living beings. Not that some have to, or many have to burn in hell forever. That's not Krishna's intention. Yeah, anything else? Yes, please. You like the dancing kirtan, but you don't like washing the toilets. That's also devotional service. Therefore, we also have to hear and understand that I'm so fortunate to get the opportunity to wash the toilets in Krishna's temple. Not exactly in the temple, but in the ashram. Generally, that's the first service that's given, to see if someone's ready for devotional service, to make that, if they're serious. If that's not given in the beginning, then generally people bring in a big dose of ahankar into their devotional service, and they never get rid of it. And their so-called devotional service simply nourishes their ahankar. So we see there are devotees who, they come in, and because they have some material ability or whatever, they are given some big position in the beginning, and they may even quote the scriptures, and they may be learned and this and that, but they never make any real advancement because they never clean the toilets. They never got off the platform of thinking, I'm very intelligent.
Well, I used to be an engineer, and I gave it all up to being Krishna, to serve Krishna. Sometimes I hear people say that. What do you mean? You were saved from birth and death. You're thinking, I was an engineer, and I gave it up. What is this nonsense? To think, actually, material life is good,
but I'm so great, I'm so renounced that I gave it up. And you should know that. It's important that you know that. So I'm telling you what a great devotee I am. Such persons don't realize how they're actually exhibiting their foolishness. So, cleaning the toilets, scrubbing the floors, this is required. After millions of lifetimes of gazing at the tip of your nose, in an attempt to advance in yoga, if one gets the chance to clean the toilets in the ashram of Krishna's devotees, he can consider himself most fortunate. Much better opportunity than becoming the CEO of Pepsi Cola, for instance. To clean the toilets in the Pepsi Cola office, that's not desirable. That is a completely different activity to cleaning the toilets in the ashram where the devotees live. Completely different. Don't think it's the same thing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Sri Gaura Nitai ki jai. All right, you can get this.